We read our Bibles together this morning in three places. We begin, first of all, in Numbers chapter 12, the first 15 verses. And our scripture readings this morning are taken in connection with the fifth commandment of God's law, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Reading first this incident in Old Testament history, Israel in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from the off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be revived, received in again." And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Now we turn to Romans chapter 13. In our Bibles, Romans chapter 13, we read the first 7 verses of this chapter. Romans 13. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." The word powers here is the Greek word authority. "For there is no power, authority, but of God. The authorities that are ordained, that be, are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. That's taxes. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. And then we read in the epistle to the Ephesians, beginning in chapter 5, the last verse, where the apostle has been calling us all to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. He's been talking about marriage, and verse 33 is a summary statement on marriage. Ephesians 5:33, and then we'll go through verse 9 of chapter 6. Verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters," verses 5-8, he was talking to employees, now employers, "and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." May God bless the reading of the scriptures to our hearts this morning. Let's turn now to page 22 in our Psalter, and we will read the explanation of the fifth commandment in Lord's Day 39, question 104, and we'll recite the answer in unison. Question 104, what does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fifth commandment is the commandment that begins the second table of the law of God. The Ten Commandments were delivered by God to Moses on two tablets of stone written by the finger of God over the face of both the front and the back of the stone, indicating that nothing can be altered and nothing can be added. In that first table that Moses received were the first four commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Have him alone as God and worship him. First commandment. Do not devise your own way to worship him. Do not make a graven image. Second commandment. Worship him in awe for his majesty and holiness, for his name is holy. Don't take his name in vain. Worship him, fourth commandment, on the Sabbath day. Not the Sabbath morning, not a Sabbath hour, but the Sabbath day. Then table 2 is the commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, it is like unto the first tablets, the first tablet, 1-4, in that it derives or follows from love the Lord thy God and therefore love thy neighbor for his sake. And the first of those commandments is honor your father and mother. But then it goes on, also love the neighbor in his person. You may not kill him. You may not injure him. Love him purely. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Love him in his possessions. You shall not steal from him. Love him in his name. You shall not bear a false witness about his name. Do not be jealous of him. Thou shalt not covet. Now we know that the purpose of the law, as we discussed this morning when we read the law of God, is that threefold purpose: to show me in Christ Jesus my sin. The apostle says in Romans 7, verse 7, I did not know sin except by the law, especially the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. But those commandments also point us to Christ, to our need for forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 3, verse 24. The law is the schoolmaster leading us to Christ for our forgiveness and righteousness. And then the third part, or the use of the law, is that part of gratitude, that we delight in that law, so that we say before the law, foul I to the fountain fly, cleanse me, Jesus, or I die. And now how shall I, forgiven, show forth my life of praise? It leads us then to daily conversion and repentance. We are called to put off the old man and all of his deeds in Christ, and to put on the new man, which is renewed in Christ. We are called of Christ to walk in sanctification, which is repentance to God and repentance to my neighbor. Now, we see that that second tablet, the love of the neighbor and my need to repent before my neighbor and learn to love him with the love of God, we see that it begins with the calling to submit to authority. It begins in the home and calls children to honor and obey their parents. The apostle put it this way in Ephesians 6:2 that we just read. He said that the fifth commandment is the first commandment with promise. When he says it's the first commandment, I believe he means it's the first commandment in the second table of the law, the love of the neighbor. When he says with promise, I believe the meaning is that it's there first for a reason. Because only when by grace that commandment is in our hearts is there a promise, is there the ability to go on to the next commandments. If we do not learn to submit our will to the authority of God placed over us as servants of Christ, if we don't learn to see that first in our lives, in the home, then there is little promise for us to go on to keep the rest of those commandments. And so we consider together that fifth commandment, and that fifth commandment, as the Catechism teaches us, calls us to honor all that God has put in authority over me, and to do that for Christ's sake, as the expression of my redemption and my being owned by Christ, whereby I serve him as I do this unto the Lord. And we'll look at the different truths here, that first of all, God's authority is conferred or delegated to different spheres. Parents, what the Catechism says, also all in authority. So that's work, employees. That's also the state, the government. That's also the church. That's the school. So authority is conferred. Secondly, honor is demanded of us. It's required to every one of those authorities. And finally, a blessing is promised. So first of all, authority is conferred by God because it's His. And our catechism, when it's introducing this commandment, wants immediately for us to see that it's broader. It includes the home, but it's much broader than parent-children. This commandment has to do with the principle of God's authority over me. The catechism says, what does it mean? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to father and mother and all in authority over me because it pleases God to govern me by their hand. Mom and dad, yes, but also all in authority over me. Home, school, church, job, marriage, state, all in authority over me. And so it's looking at us, this law is looking at us as we stand in relationship to authority, and that includes all of us. That's not just boys and girls, teenagers. That involves every one of us throughout our earthly life. It's looking at policemen. It's looking at every authority figure in our life. What is that authority? From the scripture, that authority is a God-given right to rule over another person, to govern, to give orders, to make decisions for another person, to require that they follow our instructions and punish them if need be with admonitions and instruction, to make a decision for another person, to set a policy regarding different opinions. That's authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Concerning elders, obey them, Hebrews 13:17, that have the rule over you. Your employer, servants, obey your master. In marriage, submit to your own husband. In government, obey, honor the king. Submit, 1 Peter, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. All of that obedience, with one exception, unless this authority tells you directly to sin against your God, then you do not obey, but you still submit. You still reverence that authority for God's sake. Whose is this authority? This authority is God's. This commandment declares that all authority belongs to our God and given to His Son, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God. And being God, it means that His is all authority. And it's not yours. It's His. Psalm 99, verse 1, Jehovah reigns, which means rules. He rules. Psalm 103:19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. In our congregational Bible study on Daniel, I invite all of us to attend and follow in the study guides. this study in Daniel. We have seen this, the message of the book of Daniel. The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He humbles the proud. He rules among men, whether they acknowledge his power or not. He rules. He directs. Jesus to Pontius Pilate. When Pilate said to him, Jesus wouldn't answer him. He said, "Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to set you free?" Jesus said to him, "Thou couldst have no power at all over me unless it was given thee from above." And then we read, "Let every soul be subject," Romans 13, "to the higher powers, for there is no authority, power, but of God." The authorities that be, home, church, school, work, government, the authorities that be are ordained of God. To resist those authorities is to resist the authority of God. We, you parents, must teach your children in the fifth commandment, boys and girls. It means all right to rule is of God. And so you must obey your parents, not because they're your progenitors, they're your mom and dad physically or by adoption. You must obey them not just because of that, and you don't obey them because they're bigger than you and wiser than you, but because God has given them the authority to bring you up in his name. And we teach our children that might does not make right, and that money does not make authority, and that not even intelligence makes authority, that a wife may be more gifted in many ways than her husband, but yet in love she submits to him. That we listen to our elder. He may be a poor man with little education, but we listen to him because God has conferred the authority. The commandment teaches that no human being has any authority in themselves. It is not innate. It is conferred. It is not because we are creatures. We don't carry any authority as a creature. It is all from the Lord God. It is conferred. If any person has authority, it does not come from him, from her. It comes from God. And then we must see the crucial point that this authority now has been conferred by God upon his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the marvel of the gospel and the comfort of the gospel for you and me this morning. God, who is all the authority, has through the death of his Son and the resurrection of his Son, and especially the ascension of his Son and the placing of his Son at his right hand, he has conferred right now all authority upon Jesus Christ. Our brother in the flesh is controlling all authority for our good and for the salvation of the church. He rules as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He said before he ascended, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." The snow falls. The tides happen. Saturn and Jupiter tomorrow will be at their closest point for 800 years by his control, but also by the control of Jesus Christ. He controls the entire world of men and nations and my life. He gave it to your mom and dad. He gave it to your teacher. He gave it to your senator and governor, whether they acknowledge that or not. And all who receive authority will answer to him for how they used it. He gave it to your husband. He gave it to your boss, to your elder. It's all in Christ's hand. And therefore we obey authority for Christ's sake. When we read the scriptures in Romans 13 and in Ephesians 5, the Holy Spirit belabors the point. And if you read 1 Peter 2, he belabors this point. He constantly says to wives, to children, he says to those who are in public authority and to elders, he says you must, to those who are under that authority, he constantly says, obey them, submit to them as unto the Lord, for Christ's sake, before the Lord do this. And behind that is the truth that you and I, Paul explains this beautifully in 1 Corinthians 7 when he's talking to slaves, and he's telling these slaves, don't be distressed. You're as free as I am. And you're as free as I am because we have one master. We have been purchased in the blood of Christ to serve our one master. We're placed under different spheres of authority, but we're all serving from the heart one master. This is the comfort that we have. Nothing takes place outside of his will, and therefore I do all things as to the Lord, for the Lord's sake. My boss, because of my experience in this field, you may have more knowledge of the industry or of your job than your boss. And you might think that he's not competent. You might think they are unfair and harsh against you. And you may well be correct in that. But you submit to them for Christ's sake. You're in a public class, not anymore, but online, in Grand Valley. That teacher is an ungodly person. You respect them. In this state, our governor, her authority is from God. We respect that authority for Christ's sake. In the home, you say their parent, that other, my friend's parent, if I had them, I could respect that. No, you respect your parent for Christ's sake. I have to add one word here immediately to those who are in authority over us. It's a word of comfort for us under that authority. It's a word of warning for those who are in that authority. Because the Bible says that he who has conferred this authority is going to collect it. He who hath loaned this authority is going to require it one day. Psalm 2. Be wise, ye rulers of the earth. Kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry and you perish in a day. He that ruleth over men, says David, must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Masters, don't threaten your employees. Elders, the chief shepherd is going to appear. Parents, don't provoke your children to anger. Husbands, love your wives. Now, before we leave this point, I'd like to add just three comments about, we're talking about the authority conferred. So we're talking about the person in authority. And I had three things about that. And that first is that the Word of God teaches us that to have that authority as a parent, as a Christian school teacher, as a senator, as a policeman, as a pastor, as an elder, as an employer, that that's a weight of responsibility from the Lord. And very often when we are under authority as a child, and then throughout our whole life we're under authority, we yearn to be in the place of authority and to be free. If we feel free to criticize those in authority and to believe that we can do that job better. Miriam and Aaron, why should Moses, our brother, he's our brother, why should he have all the say? And we look down on authority rather than looking up to authority. And instead of praying for them, we want their place. So, in the sphere of work, and this is not wrong, you want a promotion, you want to advance. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. But then you do get the promotion. And suddenly you realize that it's different now. And that you feel that responsibility for the decisions. And you begin to feel the weight. Before you had children, you said, I ain't going to be like my mom and dad. But now you become a parent. And you feel the weight. There's a weight of responsibility. We elect a school board to govern our school, a weight of responsibility. They need our prayers. A teacher, there's a weight of responsibility for the souls of these children. That's a heavy weight of responsibility. Responsibility, authority, is a difficult calling from God for the Christian. We care for our souls, for the souls of those who are entrusted under that authority. That's a serious thing. And that with that responsibility comes a temptation to our flesh. With that authority has come influence, strength. You have to obey me. We find that we can, in every sphere of authority, exercise that for myself, not for Christ, but for myself. So the saying is, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then sometimes authority is used to abuse other people. Abuse of authority is abuse of people. Abuse of your authority as a parent is an abuse of Christ's little sheep. Abuse of a wife is abuse of Christ's daughter. Abuse of my employee is the abuse of Christ's servant. Those in authority have no right to terrorize. Parents, provoke not your children to wrath. So the temptation of that authority is always to use it in a selfish way. Instead of that, we must see that authority in the kingdom of Christ, the authority of a husband, the authority of an elder, the authority of a parent, the authority of a Christian school teacher, is the authority of a servant. To serve in their leadership, to use this in the fear of God. We stand before another in the place of God. We want God to be seen in us. We want to be an example to our children. The world must see in us a different kind of father, a different kind of mother, a different kind of boss, a different type of politician, a different type of teacher. And so we read that Moses was the meekest of all men. That did not mean that Moses was the weakest of all men. He was not a weak man. It meant that he was a principled man. It meant that he was a humble man. It meant that he was a patient man. It meant that he exercised his authority in the sight of God for the good of those under his authority. So authority is conferred. The person in authority has been given that authority of God. And my father would constantly say to me, "Carl, you need to look behind the policeman. You need to look behind the teacher. You need to look behind the elder. You need to see God. And then you respond to that policeman, to that teacher, to that elder. That's what you need. You need to have reverence, respect for him, God." And then we in authority, we must do it as the servants of God. We are required, it is demanded of us in Jesus Christ by his grace, to give honor. Honor your parents is the commandment. And we need to be reminded that the person that is in front of us, standing in front of us, has that authority from God. And we are required, for God's sake, to show that respect and that honor. We say, in the sphere of government, who are these people? These people are unbelievers. And sadly, that's often the case. But then we remember in Romans 13 that the authority that to which Paul is pointing is Caesar, and to his dictatorship, and even to his edict soon, that not Christ, but Caesar must be called Lord. No one will call Christ his Lord. I am your Lord. And the apostle writes, he that resisteth the authority resisteth the ordinance of God. Yes, you confess that Jesus is Christ, but you do not draw your sword against Caesar. If need be, you submit to his imprisonment. Honor is required to my parents. I said that we're tempted here to look at the competence, the ability of the one in authority. We must not do that. We must look to Christ behind him. He's tempted to say, my parent doesn't have a clue. My teacher doesn't know what they're saying. You honor them. You honor them for Christ's sake. Miriam and Aaron said that they were jealous of Moses, and now they found an occasion. He married an Ethiopian woman, which they thought was a great indiscretion. The Bible doesn't tell us it was. And therefore, because of this great indiscretion, we don't have to respect him. And God says in Psalm 106, verse 19, of Moses and Miriam, they forgot God, their Savior. So what we need to do this morning is look into our hearts and our attitudes toward those who have this authority over us. Is there contempt? Is there dissatisfaction? Is there despising? is their defiance against that God-given authority in the home. Defiance against my mom and dad in the home, in school, in church, in the workplace, and in the state. We deplore, on the principles of God's word, the anarchy of our society. We deplore the rioting and the bricks and the looting and the contempt and the burning and the contempt for the uniform of a policeman. We deplore that. That's anarchy. And we know from Scripture that out of that anarchy, the Antichrist is arising. And he will identify to all mankind the source of all of our problems, Christ and his people. We see that. We see that out of this anarchy, the Antichrist will come. But now we need to ask, what is my attitude? What's mine toward authority? Christ calls me to honor it. This must also be the case in the church. Sometimes, rather than following the leadership of elders and deacons and the direction of elders, and then also submitting to the decisions of assemblies, to classes and synod, and if there is disagreement with that, to follow the orderly, Christ-honoring channels of discussion and protest and understanding, that instead it's our nature that we agitate and spread suspicion and misrepresent those bodies, the consistory, the classes, or the synod, and accuse in such a way that we let everybody know our accusation against that, and to find who's on my side now. Anarchy in the church, also, we look at ourselves. Anarchy in my life in the church tears down God's truth. It spreads strife and parties and suspicion. We realize we cannot take up arms and guns against the government with physical force. We realize we may not abuse our children or wife. We can't do that. But we may not abuse the bride of Christ, the church. Our attitude towards authority must always be that others see in us a respect for Christ, for those who lead us in Christ, and for the church of Christ. So the Catechism says that there are three things that must characterize us. Those three things are honor, love, and fidelity. That I show all honor, love, and fidelity. Honor. And so we ask the question, why does the fifth commandment say, honor your father and mother? Doesn't it mean obey? And isn't obedience enough? And the answer to that is yes, obedience is very important. We must submit, we must obey. Obedience is very important in our lives. But no, obedience is not enough. That's why God says honor. Honor is an attitude. We can obey mom and dad and still hate. But when we have honor and love and fidelity, where do those come from? They don't come from the deed of obedience. I can obey. I can do what was told me. I'll do it. Gritting my teeth, letting everybody know I disagree. But that's not good enough. Not for him. Not for the Christ I serve. He says, honor. That's an attitude. It's the attitude of respect. To regard with utmost respect. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, that we had children, we had fathers after the flesh, and we gave them honor. We gave them respect. We must have respect. Honor is to respect the authority. Number two, love. And that love is rooted in God. All true love is rooted in God for God's sake. And that love that we are to show to authority figures is an unconditional love. And it comes out of that new man in Christ. For Christ's sake, we will keep his commandment. We will not pout. That's why, boys and girls, if you pout and if you sulk, your parent is not satisfied, are they? They're not satisfied at all when you do that. You must do this out of love. Love for your mom and dad and love for the Christ you serve. And so the catechism says, with love is always patience. Patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Patience. If I were to ask you, what is, you remember 1 Corinthians 13, and then at verse 4, the apostle gives 18 descriptions of true love, charity. Charity is, and then follows 18 characterizations of what love is. If I were to ask you, what's the first one? Charity suffereth long. Long-suffering is the first characteristic of love. We would say charity is passionate. Charity is to be burned at the stake. God says charity is patient. Why is it patient? It's patient because the person we love, now in authority, needs your patience because they're weak and sinful and they have weaknesses and infirmities. And when it's speaking here, the Word of God through the Catechism, about parents, that we are to bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, it's not referring just to the fact that they become senile. It's referring to the fact that they are sinful. Not senile, sinful. This does not excuse the sinful behavior of a parent. But the infirmities that are referred to here are not the gross infirmities. Then, as a child or under authority, we have to report that gross abuse, that horrible abuse. But it's referring to things like, my parents are irritable. They are, at times, unfair. They say things they ought not say. And sometimes they're filled with anger and even say, I'm doing this for Christ's sake, but you know that it's their own anger that they don't have under control. They have infirmities and weaknesses. And of those weaknesses and infirmities, we must, as those in authority, confess and tell our children and confess those to those who are under us of those sins. And so we must be patient. and long-suffering with those who it pleases God to govern us by their hand. And we do that by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And then finally, the Catechism says we must honor, we must love, and we must show all fidelity. That means faithfulness. That's very important. We show faithfulness. We show faithfulness to our parents, loyalty to our parents. That is, we seek their good. That produces unity in our families. We have loyalty to the church and to the members of the church. When the members of the church are suffering, we have loyalty, fidelity to the church. We have loyalty in the workplace. We just don't go to the office or to the job or wherever it is and put in our time, and we don't care what kind of service we do because the corporation is a downer. They're not going anywhere or whatever it may be. Oh, no, no. We are loyal to that firm. We are loyal to them and give them the best service that we can render. And we do that for Christ's sake. And we're faithful to our home because God put me there. And that means that I seek to be a comfort to my home and to my parents, to care, console, and protect my parents when they become older, to seek my parents' good in Christ, to seek their good in Christ, to respect my boss, and to respect my elders. Honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's a blessing here. And the blessing is the blessing of joy and peace in the Christian life and in the covenant of God. In the Old Testament, it may well have been that part of that was a long life in the land of Canaan. But that's not necessarily the promise of God, long life today. But the blessing of God, the promise of the blessing, is spiritual happiness and peace without submission to that authority in the way of lawlessness and anarchy. There can be no peace. But in that way of honor, by God's grace, we experience the blessing in the home and in the church, in our life, of peace and joy. The opposite, as I said, will also be true. Rebellion, disobedience. When I am the master myself, I'm the master. My will, what I want. There will be no peace. It will be like the anarchy of this world. That's what I am by nature, and that's what this world is, and that's what's consuming this world, is anarchy against God. But in the way of his grace, submitting, peace. Do we think now, as we close the service, of the application of this commandment to other people or to ourselves? Do we think of children? And maybe we've been poking them at different points. Good, that's good. Do we think of others in the church? Do we think of the criminals and the anarchists of our society? Yes, it's true. But is our perspective solely outward? We must examine ourselves. Honor, love, and loyalty to all who are in authority over me, from my heart, for the Lord's sake. Let us put off the old man, and let us be renewed in that new man, and walk in obedience to our God. Amen. Father, we thank thee for the word. We pray that we may take by thy grace the yoke of Jesus Christ and his burden, for it is easy and light. That from the heart we may serve the Lord Christ, principled in our life, as unto the Lord, testifying of him who is our only master. Forgive all that was said amiss. Sanctify the word to our hearts and dismiss us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.